Welcome to the Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the very unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. It is me, your host, yet again, the Right Reverend Bobby Love, and I am joined today by Citizen Neil, Mr. Rooney. How are we doing?
Very good, mate. Very good. Very good. Getting close to, obviously, we're just on the 29th of March, so we're getting close to Easter, if folk remember what that is. And then a couple of bank holidays, said that to my mum today. She went, why are you off on Friday again? I went, well, it's a bank holiday. Molly, the bank holidays up. I work at the bank. She just looked away. She totally forgot that Easter was coming. Never mind it being a bank holiday. So, looking forward to that.
All the days are merging into one until we get released on the 26th of April, eh? And everybody goes absolutely crazy doing the boozers. A couple of quick points before we move on, listeners. A couple of people have asked about why we're called unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. The reason we're called unofficial is to kind of distance ourselves from the club. So anything that we say in here means that they don't get in trouble. And that's essentially what it is. Also,
I guess we're still not, obviously, they've not offered to make us official yet, and pay us.
No, I've spoke to Chairman Brown in the interim and he never mentioned it. So obviously we're getting patched for getting like a long-term deal on a couple of £100 a week. But that's his fault, you know what I mean? Obviously the funds can't stretch to the best bit of content going. as you also know, as you also notice, there's no Mr. Monks tonight. Unfortunately, he's failed a fitness test. He's kind of having to be on the bench tonight. Hopefully back for the next one.
I kind of feel sorry for Mrs. Monks, because if he's not having getting a moan with us, that's been building up. So he's either going to moan at her or he's going to be actually building up and he's going to explode the next one. So,
aye. I mean, that's it. I mean, obviously, we've heard on the podcast grapevine that he's developing a big, massive moan for the next podcast, which I'm sure will keep you all entertained. But in the meantime, we've got me and Neil, and the first thing we're going to speak about, probably pretty obviously, is the managerial change. We've went from James McDonough, our manager of the last 3 and a bit years, to Gary Naismith. I think it all came as a bit of a surprise. James is moving up to being the sporting director position, which I believe is kind of a bit more of a full-time, hands-on role. Hopefully developing things off the pitch, youth academy. What's your thoughts there, Neil?
Well, James has done really, really well. So, and if it means keeping him, you know, hopefully he can move into that. Developing youth guys, you know, we've said that. The amount of games, it was last season, we watched a lot of the under-20s games, wasn't it? So, when we could go to games, you know, you think it's for any sporting fan, if you've got a youth set up, you want to see youth guys coming through and knowing what it's about, you know, and hopefully James can get more and more involved in that. You know, obviously, if that's more of his bag and he's more comfortable doing that, then fair enough. You know, it's good for him, and if we can keep him in a full-time position, then even better. And trying to keep them long term, which is great.
Aye, I mean, obviously, it's something he'd made mention of in previous Q&As on Facebook during the summer and whatnot. So, I think it's good. It shows that things maybe are going to progress for the club off the pitch. There's been chat about new stadiums. There's been chat about maybe going full time. I mean, it all seems to be kind of kicking off the pitch, really. Yeah. No. Hopefully, we'll have Chairman Brown on shortly to discuss matters. obviously, our new manager, Gary Naismith, has made mention of a few things in various other podcasts. But obviously, the change of name came totally out of the blue. Seems to have been a pretty good start, 3 wins out of 3.
Could have asked for a better start, you know. Obviously, we'll dissect every game, I would imagine, to a degree. But listening to Davy Irons at the weekend, having a bit of a moan and how, but everybody's in the same boat, which is probably about the only thing that he said, right? Everybody's in the same boat, you know. So it's great that we're getting everybody up and running. And we've added a, you know, centre half in from St Johnstone, young guy in. So we've needed that. Everybody seems to be fit, which is touch wood. Keep knocking on wood. We'll need to knock on wood every day, but everybody seems to be fit, you know, to get going, you know. when we finished, we seemed to have guys just have niggling injuries. Like even Danny Hanlon, he would be struggling with. He'd done his bit at half time, but he could run on a straight line, but couldn't twist and turn and stuff. So, yeah, it's and even off the stuff, it's surreal to be sitting here. It's all positive, which is great.
I know.
Ali, to be fair, just well, Ali's not on because he would come to hunt it more of it.
I know.
He'd have a segment to go, I'm going to have to change it to Mr. Monk's positive, and then, you know, it'd be an anomaly. But, you know.
Aye. I mean, obviously, it's been a change. You can hear, I mean, obviously, with the Facebook Q&A he had, just the kind of post-match interviews, he's really enthusiastic about the role. He's coming across really well. It seems to be rubbing off on the players. Just a big buzz. The only thing I can criticise Gary for is he keeps calling us Edinburgh, where, of course, that should be Edinburgh City or the Citizens.
Well, you're more of a celebrity than me. I'm only a celebrity for the negative reasons. So, you can maybe have a word to certain people, you know, and they might have a gentle word, but aye. You know, but to get Gary in, I mean, take the other team hat off. Guys in the Scotland, he's just short of the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Yep.
And we rave about Andy Robertson just now and Kieran Tierney. That boy in his prime as a left back was phenomenal.
He was.
Absolutely phenomenal. You know, he's done well at East Fife and stuff like that, but he's in his managerials and, he's done well with Cunha South. Hopefully he's not a bevy do with us and gets told he's getting, you know, how they got for the Cunha South one. But, yeah, just, he didn't, and we'll be trying to touch on it when we have our guest on, but it's like, you can only imagine, not that guys wouldn't learn from James, because, you know, he's been a fantastic coach and he's not coached at professional clubs and high-level clubs for nothing, but this guy being an ex-pro and just playing at the highest level, and you could argue he's been everywhere as good for Scotland, if not better than Andy Robertson has. So, yeah, I think it's a massive coup, to be honest.
Aye. I think it's one of those ones that made everybody kind of stand up and go, oof, they really do mean business. Maybe like when everybody was talking about full-time football for City, everybody thought, buying the sky, that's not going
to
happen.
It seems to
Then we've got Gary Naismith in, and folk are like, well, maybe that's a little bit serious here.
But, like, everybody said that when we got James.
Aye.
You know what I mean? It was like, oh, wait a minute. You know what I mean? It's not like all credit to Gary and what he'd done and Ross and I sent you that photo the other day, the article of Gary Jordan with me and Ross in the picture, but... You know, all credit to these guys for what they've done, but then it's like taking another step. It's like, well, we want to go to X now. We need to take another step.
Aye.
It's great. Aye. Good to see.
It's all very positive. Obviously, he signed for a 3-year contract as well, so he's buying into the into the plans, whatever they may be. But I think that's good. You know, it's working out really well so far. But as he said in his interviews, it's really just down to the players. You know, they've got to kind of keep going and keep working, and it's going to be difficult with the number of games that we've got, keeping them everyday fit. I mean, obviously, he's kept a couple of guys out here and there just to make sure they're fresh. A couple of guys have got niggles, you know, Lairdy, Josh Campbell, a couple of niggles, Conrad's been out. But the rest of the team are just, he's kind of tried to rotate them a little bit. Rafa's been in and out and so on. So, it's looking very positive. You know, it's good time to be an Edinburgh City fan, I think.
Yeah. Start
well,
3 wins out of 3, yeah.
So there we are. So obviously managerial change, as we mentioned, we've had 3 games since the restart. 3 wins, can't complain. Our first one was a pretty hard fought win up at Elgin. Never an easy place to go for any team. Blew them away the first 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Scored a couple of early goals. Lovely goal for Josh after a quick break for Antel passing it to Rafa, who pretty much ran the whole length of the pitch before he passed it to Uzi, who had a lovely peeling off run, squared it perfectly for Josh. Then the cross came in and Rab back scored with his right foot. Wonders will never cease. And then we carried on. They got a goal back. It was probably a poor one to lose from our perspective, but I think we looked pretty comfortable at times. I mean, we kind of watched it in the first 5 minutes. I think You can tell these boys haven't been playing for a while. But then after the 5 minutes and both teams kind of got into it, it was like, we've not really been away. That's how it felt anyway. I don't know what it was like for the boys, but certainly watching it, didn't feel like there'd been a, I don't know, what, 8 week gap or something or whatever it was, you know?
Well, saying yeah, we're looking, I've got the pictures up on my other monitor and it's got, the last time we played a game was the 10th of January. We'd beat Airdrie. We would have been sitting watching the Scottish Cup tie.
Aye.
Was it, we'd been the Sunday, it was moved to the Sunday, wasn't it?
Aye.
People's obviously not up to date, but it was a Sunday, we sat and watched it on the Sunday morning. Still waiting to see where that boy Robert is. I don't know, just still not seen him, but so they've not played since what, the 11th of January, and now it's the 20th of March they've played. So yeah, it's a fair wacky.
Aye. So aye, very, very comfortable game against Elgin. Then we moved on to Albion Rovers. Again, played pretty well out the blocks. Uzi scored a pretty good goal for another delightful bit of delivery for Tomo. They came back into it a little bit. We kind of had a little second half nap that has become apparent sometimes for us, I think. Hopefully the gaffer can get that sorted pretty quick. But of course, Clifton Hill is a pretty tough pitch to play on. I remember last season we were through there from the away day. Sheps was clean through 18 yards out just to keep it to beat. Then the ball hits a bobble, it jumps about 8 feet in the air and goes out for a throw.
That one, it was, the term, the Indian summer. It was like, felt like it was the middle of winter, but it was actually scorching, you know. Was that last season? It must have been last season.
It must have been. Was it last season? Oh, it must have been.
It was, you just see the ball bouncing past the post and you're like, that's just not him, that's to do with it.
It was a tough one. I mean, obviously, Albion Rovers have recruited with a number of experienced players, no David Cox, Ryan Stevenson. They looked a handful, but we were quite fortunate. Tomo put in a wonder pass, perfectly weighted for Uzi, who headed in the winner. And we kind of toughed it out for the last 20 minutes, so a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one, and we'll touch on players shortly, but it's almost a... You obviously want to be more comfortable playing at home, and if you can ground results out away from... You know, the impetus is on the home team. They really go and influence the game and try and win the game, eh? So it's, if you can start picking up results like that away from home all the time, we'll be delighted.
Aye. So that brings us to just Saturday's Pastures game against Stenhouse Muir. There's always been pretty close games, I found, since we moved into the league against them. Mm-hmm. Pretty tough games. They're quite a robust team, regardless of some of their celebrity fans' protests on Twitter.
To be fair, they have got some, like, you know, I was watching one of our mates at the weekend, and like, they have got two or three really good ball players in the middle of the park for them, you know, being robust when they have to be, but the boy tapping and stuff like that, you know, they just look so comfortable. You can tell he's at a higher level, I guess. But and who was they brought the winger on near the end? Because remember the last time, I'm sure we watched them down at Ainslie Park, and they played a left winger, and he just absolutely went at Tomo for like the 90 minutes, and it was like, but he never started. You know, he come on during the game, eh? So yeah, I mean, that's 3-1. It's a cracking, absolutely cracking result. But, you know, we're going to touch on players. Obviously, Danny comes off the bench and scores a cracking goal, but, like, Rafa.
Aye.
I mean, that's just a gate. I mean, we're in awe when we get these guys in, but Rafa looks, he looks so sharp in what he's doing. Just oozes that extra quality. It's great to watch.
Aye, definitely. I mean, I thought we controlled the game for... Because I was there doing official tweets for the club, so a bit different from seeing the scene, but I was there, and it looked like we controlled the game for about the first hour, 70 minutes, which the Stenhouse Muir television man seemed to agree with, although David Irons didn't. Not quite sure what game he was watching. But we seemed to control it for 70 minutes, and we kind of they pushed on quite a lot. We gave Callum Tappin quite a lot of room, who I thought actually, for the most part throughout the game, I thought he was magnificent. Really, really good player. Which we know anyway, because we've seen him before, but he plays really well. But we seem to get into this kind of standoff and let him play when yeah. maybe like pressing a bit more. But then they got the goal. They maybe should have had another one. Mark McGuigan had one scooting by the post. And then Danny comes on. Nice wee bit of play for Alex Harris. And Danny scores that absolute beauty to kind of finish it off. And then he gets his customary celebration against Steny.
Yeah. yeah. Well, somebody on the other order on his quality boots, but we can wait till we get him on.
Aye, boots, man. Jesus. Anyway. I was just a quick run through with the games, because obviously we've got an interview coming up shortly. Player focus. We'll delight Ali with the first one. Uzi C.
I'll tell you what. I mean, and I've said before, we were there that day in Inverurie and we said to him, a big door doesn't sign. Regardless, me and you probably gave him the kiss of death because we said we would sponsor him after that.
Aye.
So, you know what I mean? And hand on heart at that moment in time, he'd done City a great job. Obviously, he was injured at the point when we were getting promoted. And then when he come back this year, everybody's gone, you know, you don't always have to sign a marquee guy, but you know, you're signing guys that you think are going to improve it. Was Uzi going to improve us? We probably went, well, we've seen what he was like when we come into the league. He's very, very much changed everybody's opinion in a positive, I believe, because especially if, you know, we're concentrating on a few games, he's played really, really well. That says a lot when we've just done an all-time 11 and had Blair Henderson in it, and Uzi's, he's keeping them out. Now, I know they're going to rotate now between now and the end of the year because of what they've got, but Uzi's just seems to have found a gear where he's doing what I like in a striker. He's running in behind, he's running in the channels, he's stretching defenders, he scored some cracking headers. You know, I mean, the ones against Airdrie and that as well, he scored some cracking headers. For them to say that, like, obviously the Airdrie game, he'd just been off his bed, COVID bed, near enough, you know, had they seen him. But aye, fair play to the guy. I mean, the guy's playing really, really well. He seems to have a spring in his step, which is great. And there's maybe an element of missing it, you know, and being back at it, you know, as well. So, but no, give him his due. He's been fantastic.
Aye, definitely. I mean, three goals in three games. Obviously, never scored on Saturday, but I think he's holding up the ball really well. He's bringing guys in. He's shown that wee bit of flair that he had the first time in his first tour of duty, which is really helping. He's playing really, really well. I think that's a real positive that I think we had that problem for a couple of years. We're maybe relying on Blair too much up front, you know, maybe relying on Blair to do other things that maybe aren't quite his forte, whereas Uzi's a slightly different player. And they both have their real positives. And I think Uzi's shown his positive play just now, the way he holds it up, the way he kind of runs it, defenders, is a handful in a different way, and it's really good to see. It's really positive. Again, another positive to go with all the other positives that we've had.
It's maybe a bit. We don't know what he's like as a character. Obviously, we've only met him probably once or twice when we've had a baby. But you know, he's maybe one of these guys that doesn't need the rocket. I'm not saying James would never have done this, but you know, he maybe just needs a bit of belief, and he's maybe found that bit of belief from somewhere. You know, whether it's somebody else coming in or, you know, whatever Gary said to them when he's coming in, just said everybody's got a clean slate, or, you know, I don't know. You know, he's maybe, or it's maybe just been missing it when he's gone, look, let's get on it, sort of thing. And, you know, and it's not as if he doesn't not try. You know, we used to watch him in the league at times and you'd go, he was so talented and he would maybe miss a chance in the first 5 minutes and you'd go, does he need that? You know what I mean? He maybe needs a goal to make a roll to save. He doesn't need to just go, oh, no, he would think about it too much. He maybe get beyond that stage. You know, he's certainly feeling the benefit of it, which is good.
So it's great to see. Another positive, you touched on him already, Rafa De Vita since the restart. Up at Elgin, he was brilliant. Obviously set up the first goal. He just played on that wing really well. He's obviously quite an, you can tell he's quite an intelligent player. So, for example, if Tomo's running up, Rafa will drift back into kind of cover. You know, when I've been at games doing the tweeting, you can tell he's talking to players, he's taking them through the game. You know, it just makes a massive difference having somebody his quality. And on Saturday, his two goals were brilliant. I thought he was pretty good all over. He's been, and as Gary said, he says he's maybe a bit unhappy about no playing on Tuesday, but as he's getting a bit on in years. He just wanted to protect him a little bit, you know. Obviously, he's not an old man by any stretch, but maybe in football terms, he is.
Yeah.
He just wanted to kind of save him. Obviously, Albion Rovers are the heavy pitch. Might be the same tomorrow. Obviously, we're recording before the Cowden Beath game. That's another heavy pitch. Although the forecast is meant to be good, but you know what it's like through five sometimes. I mean, just quality all round, really impressed. I mean, when we did the player, like the man of the match vote that we have for our player of the season, everybody that asked, everybody was like, DeVito, yeah, no question, yeah. Rafa, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, he's you knew he was quality, but you know, watching him in the Premier League, and I learned, you know, that he's been in Scottish football for a long time now. I'll tell you what, it is a joy to watch, and he just, it's not like watching somebody in full trickery and doing all the complex. It really is at times watching them just doing the simple stuff. And you're going, you know, I said that to our mate earlier on Saturday, we were watching the game, I'm going, footballs can be made so complex at times. And he's just doing everything that you're taught to do, all the simple stuff, and he does the fundamentals so well. It's a joy, and people should be watching him, young guys should be watching him at the club.
Yeah, definitely hope. I'm kind of hoping we can maybe keep a hold of him, but that might be a wee bit too far out of budget.
we'll need to stay unofficial if that's to happen.
And the last player I want to mention is Danny Jardine. Now, I think when we signed, everybody was really excited. When he's played against us, when he's playing for Stirling Albion, he always stood out against us. We were all delighted when he signed, but the first part of the season, it maybe just wasn't quite working, eh? But he's came in, he came off the bench against Albion Rovers, and obviously Gary was effusive in his praise about how he changed the game when he came on. He played on Saturday, and I thought he was absolutely magnificent on Saturday. I'll be a bit more centrally than he had been playing. And he played in a midfield three with him, Liam Brown and Blackie, and I thought the three of them are brilliant. I thought it was probably Liam Brown's best game for the club, which tells you how good Rafa is that he got man of the match. But I thought it was probably Bruni's best game for the club. But I thought Danny Jardine was brilliant. Hopefully that means he's maybe going to get a wee run. What do you reckon?
Yeah, we think so. I think he's going to have to use everybody now because of, you know, it's the amount of games you have to play in such a short period of time. You're looking at what you should really, after you exercise as a mere mortal, it's like 48 hours before you feel back to normal sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I was really impressed on Saturday, played in the middle of the park. It's kind of like they played Brown that wee bit further forward and he sat in beside Blackie. But, you know, we said on, you know, what did we use the term? It was like watching old John McDonald. John used to play on the wing, and he was full of energy. And then he was put him in the middle of the park and you go, why has he not played there for years? I mean, he would just do the whole, you know, he'd be getting involved so much more. You know, the different style of the player, but it seems to be that, you know, he's maybe going to be, I think probably because he was 11, everybody thought he's going to come and be a winger. And it's maybe just been a squad number to go, no, wait a minute, this guy should probably be playing in the middle of the park. And we've maybe tried to do what, like Danny Hanlon does, goes out and says he's playing wide right, but lets him float about sort of thing. So, you know, I was really, really impressed. You know, you're right, he's taking a wee while on yourself. But I was really, really, really impressed on Saturday.
I definitely, like another one that probably could have won man of the match, but obviously just Rafa with his two goals and his all-round play kind of beat everybody at the punch there, eh?
Yeah.
So that's kind of covering the first few games, player focus. Anything else you want to cover before we move on to our interview?
I don't think so, mate. I think obviously everything's really, really positive just now, which is great. And then we'll just hopefully it keeps being positive is probably the best way to put it. Obviously we play. We're recording this on a Monday, so we're not talking about Cowden Beath tomorrow, which will be a difficult game, but.
Always a difficult game at Cowden Beath. I can't remember going up there and actually see this. Oh no, we did win. There was one win. It's when the first season when we were up, Josh Walker scored a beauty in the bottom corner.
Yeah.
The day that Fraser Mullin got sent off after running after the referee and trying to get in a fight with Big Joe.
I was there the day that Pat Scullion made his debut with Craig Beattie at centre half, and Beattie went off injured after about 30 seconds. And Scullion was absolutely fantastic that day. So you don't make sure.
There you go. I was at Portman Road that day watching him sort of stink it up as he usually done another Mike McCarthy. anyway, the last couple of times up at Cowdenbeath have been dreadful. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, it's great because we're central belt. It's good for a day out. If you didn't want a day out, it's just short jump over the road to the, you know. But it's a tricky place to go. But it's a proper football ground with cult character and kind of this modern stadium stuff where it all looks the same, you know what I mean? Everybody talks about when they watch English footballers, could you do it on a wet, windy night in Stoke? Come on, that's a modern stadium. Come and do it at Cowdenbeath on a Tuesday night in the middle of winter. Never mind the middle of summer, you know. What's the Elgin and stuff, you know. It's a good place. Good days.
Oh, that's absolutely. I think it's a cracking away day because it's so short. You're back in the tomb for like half five, 6 o'clock, depending if you decide to go to Wee Jimmy's for a pint after it.
Yeah.
It's just good. But you know what you're getting with Cowdenbeath. Bowen has them set up tough, experienced pros in that team like Mango Bar and all that. You know what you're getting. But obviously, it'll be even tougher probably after playing three games in the bounce. You've got another game 2 days after when you've already played. It'll be a tough game. So I would say. I wouldn't be too disheartened if they come out with just a point. Not try to be negative. Obviously, loads of positives.
You know what I mean?
Just try to, obviously, like, I'm hoping for the win. We've probably got enough about us to win, but I do appreciate how tough it is to go to Cowdenbeath at any time of the year, but even more so after such a long layoff and playing so many games in such a short space of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be... Well, I suppose the same for Cowdenbeath. They'll be in the same boat, but... You know, it's always a difficult place to go. So, yeah. Fingers crossed we get the win. Hopefully we do.
And then we get another wee win in the cup on a Saturday. That would be great.
Oh, that'd be delightful. I forgot I've got the Scottish Cup on Saturday away at Forfar. I think it's possibly a winnable tie. I think they're having a wee bit of struggles now. So, we'll just see how that goes.
Let's not get too carried away. One game at a time.
Well, that's why it's good to take one game at a time. The league's obviously the preference. Keeping them, after not being 5 points at the playoffs, are now second. I mean, that's some turnaround in three games.
Mm-hmm.
All the results went for us on Saturday. I think the team immediately below us, Stirling Albion and Queen's Park, have both got a game in hand. But we've got a game in hand on the team who are fourth, who remind me as Elgin, is it? Whoever it may be.
I need to look it up.
But we've got a game in hand on them, so... We've done really, really well to get there. I think that's credit to the team, credit to the players for coming back the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we'll go on to rather than listening to us blab on.
We will
move on to our first interview.
So as everybody will have noticed, if you're watching on YouTube, we have been joined by our guests this evening. And if you've only skipped to this point, shame on you. But hey ho, these things happen. Robbie McIntyre, left back, left winger, left centre half, right back.
Just utility man, isn't it?
Utility man, thank you very much for joining us on this lovely Monday evening. So thanks for coming on.
Nice to be on.
Superb. Thanks for coming on. Right, we'll just get into it.
Yeah.
Kind of really soft introductory questions, not hard hitting here. This isn't an episode of Panorama. How did you manage to get into football and what was your kind of first footballing memory?
I was actually, funnily enough, when I first grew up and was kind of like getting involved in sports, I actually always preferred basketball, which is weird because it's not really a big thing in Scotland, I wouldn't say. And I think the only reason I did is because I was taller than most of the kids. I don't know, I probably thought somewhat I should play basketball. So it wasn't until... it was my best mate that lived next door to us who was playing football all the time, and he was really good. And so in turn, I wanted to try and get as good as he was or better or whatever. So he actually taught me how to properly kick a ball and whatnot. And he just went from there, really. He was playing every day after that. So I didn't pick up a basketball for about 15 years after that. So it definitely wasn't for me. But that's my earliest memory of playing football. And I was like, 6 years old, I think. Six, yeah.
You've got some brownie points off Robert and I because we're long suffering Chicago Bulls fans now.
Oh yeah.
So yes,
Unfortunately, I'm the only one that's old enough to have seen us win a championship.
Yeah. That was it. I actually watched that. I watched that The Last Stand thing on Netflix. Was it The Last Stand?
Yeah, The Last Stand.
Oh,
yeah.
That was the best thing I've watched on Netflix.
That was brilliant.
They were the glory years, weren't they?
Yes.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, Jordan's one of my sporting heroes. Eh? He's some boy, yeah. So you're saying, obviously, like 6 years old, you started playing football. I'm assuming that's just for like school teams and all that.
Yeah, I never actually played for a team until I was 10. But I was just playing with my mate or my mates every day, you know. But I didn't actually sign up to a team until I was 10 years old. I don't know why I didn't. Maybe just didn't feel ready or something.
Yeah.
I think that's the same for quite a lot of folk at that age. You get a bit like, oh, where am I going to go? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
So did you have a, well, without wanting to start a diplomatic incident, did you have a team that you followed when you were growing up? Are you allowed to reveal that?
Cliche, but it was Man United. My dad was a big Man United fan. Like, I grew up watching Ronaldo, Giggs. It was that kind of era that I just loved. Like, I was a diehard Man United fan. And I'm not so much, I still care for them these days, you know. I still look out for results. But yeah, growing up, Man United, I was obsessed.
Someone with my native sympathies as well, I can fully understand why you don't want to watch some at this point in time.
Yeah.
all is at the wheel that's somehow steering kind of nowhere in the right direction.
Yes.
Obviously, you said you supported my native. Was those the kind of footballers you looked up when you were younger? Was it like Ronaldo, Giggs, or was there any other players?
Yeah, no, it was, Van Giggs was probably my absolute hero, to be honest. I always just wanted to try and play like him. So, and my dad was a massive fan of him as well. So he would like make sure I'm watching him, what he's doing, and he's getting on. And he was an exciting player. He was getting the ball, he's running at people, and that's just how I wanted to picture myself playing. So Giggs was definitely a hero of mine, even though he was already getting on by the time. But I used to just watch old clips of him and stuff as well. And yeah, he was my hero. Still is.
Wow, there you go. Oh well, good. Yeah. I've mentioned something else later on. Now that we know that he's a hero, so obviously you started your career at Rangers, which is pains me to say it, it's a big thing to start one of your career with one of the ugly sisters. You know, it's a huge thing. So it's a big thing for your first contract. How did that all come about?
It was a shock to me. It wasn't something that had been in the pipeline for ages. I was playing at Tynecastle. We were a good side, you know, mm-hmm. and I was wanting to move on. But there was talk at that time that I was Livingston were really keen to sign me. So I went in to Livingston and met some people there. Couldn't remember who they are now, but I went in, went to the stadium, was shaking hands with people. Was pretty much a done deal, and then I got a phone call from Billy Kirkwood, who's one of the coaches. He still coaches at Rangers with the academy boys. Well, I didn't get a phone call. My dad got a phone call, and it was to say that we've been invited to go to Murray Park and just go for a look around. And I was like I was just getting a tour or something, like, or my
yeah.
sign here, and. So yeah, I went through for a day, had a walk around, and the same day was offered a contract. I was like, this is incredible. Like, I never expected to go to Rangers, and especially not from Tynecastle. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it all happened so quickly. And I remember I had told everyone that I was looking like I was going to Livingston, and then obviously got signed with Rangers. But I couldn't tell any of my mates for a week. And I'm telling you, that was the hardest thing ever. Just had to scream and shout about it. But I didn't tell anyone, not even my best mates. I couldn't. So
it wasn't like a Kieran Trippier case where you're telling your pals to go and put bets under the bookies.
Yeah, no, it was an honest approach. That's the moral of the story. It kind of came about as a surprise to me as well. Couldn't believe it.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's good stuff. Oh, well. So you left Rangers at the time when, you know, they're in deep financial trouble. I suppose it goes on to, it's becoming more and more prominent in football. You see more and more teams doing it. Are you, did you fully appreciate what was going on there when as a player? And you know what's happening, and or is it blinkered sort of?
I don't think I did fully appreciate what was happening.
Right,
just like I knew how big a story it was, and stuff. And I guess it didn't really, as much as all that was going on within the club that I'm playing for, you know, it wasn't really spoke of much. It was almost avoided.
Okay.
And the only time it really felt real was probably about maybe like a month or so prior to like my departure. Was like I always remember Stephen Whittaker just, obviously I used to see him around the building a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one day he just got his stuff and he left and he never came back. Like he just left as if it's just like leaving anything, like any like little job or whatever.
Yeah.
He just left. And I remember him, like he's fresh in my mind, but that happened with a few of the guys. And then I was thinking like, oh, this is really, really gone to shit. This has. So
yeah.
Then we got I can't remember who the guy that was getting all the blame for it. What was his name? Was it Green or something?
Was it Charles Green? And then
Craig White, I think, at Rangers.
Charles Green was first, though.
Too many colours, eh?
Because yeah, they make a good thing about Green and White making a hatchet.
Yeah. So he actually got everyone, and I mean, like, all the players, all the academy players, all the people that are working there, like the kitchen staff, people working in the office, whatever, got everyone in and was trying to reassure everyone that their jobs were fine and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, telling you, it was like a war zone, like going back and forth, back. And I'm young at this point. I'm just sitting there, like, I just want to play football, not have a clue what was going on. But it was really quite chaotic in there towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I didn't really understand the magnitude of it for a long time because I wasn't, not that I didn't care, I wasn't interested. I was there to play football.
Yeah.
And it didn't really affect me until it probably did. But I don't have any regrets.
Yeah. No, it's probably like a lot of things in life where you look at insurance, you know, I didn't need whatever. Pensions, I didn't need whatever. You know what I mean? Until you get a wee bit older and you do feel and appreciate these things, you know, it's
definitely.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's so. From Rangers, Huddersfield, which is another, you know, big team, a big rugby league and rugby area as well.
Yeah.
Another fairly big club. What was it like moving away so young?
I was definitely like anxious about it because I didn't think at that age, so I was 18 when I moved down. I was somewhat mature, but probably not mature enough in the head at that time. But as soon as I got down there, I'd actually remember I was staying in a hotel for 2 months at first because we didn't have the digs, like the apartment sorted or something. So I actually was staying with a guy called Dale Hobson, who was one of the players there as well at Huddersfield, and he soon became my best mate, like, down there. So, you know, it was great, really, from day one. I loved it. I absolutely loved playing at Huddersfield. Like, it was brilliant. For the year and a half, or just over, I was there.
Yeah.
Loved it, and it was the way I left is always a bit rubbish. I done my medial ligament in my left knee.
Right.
Like my last, I always signed 6 month contracts, so they weren't really banking on me, you know. But I got three. So anyway, so I done my knee, and I was out for 4 months out of the six.
Yeah.
And I came back, played a couple of games, and actually. The last game I played for them was probably the best game I played for them, which made it even harder to leave. But
yeah,
it was great. We had a small group of players in the under 23s, but everyone got on so well. Everyone was tight. Everyone worked well together. Like, we were a good side as well. Yeah, it was a great experience. And Huddersfield is probably not the funnest place in the world, but you can always find things to do. And Manchester's close and stuff. So
yeah.
I loved Huddersfield. I really did. I would have happily signed another 6 months or whatever there. So I'm still very close with a lot of the boys down there.
Good.
So
that's great.
Loved it.
So we then moved to Bury. Mm. All right. So obviously this spoke about, but like, I'm the same as Bob, like, as I like the sporting documentaries. There's one about Bury on the BT now, and has obviously been on Sunderland and stuff like that. But so Bury and Rangers must have had, I'm going to say, we put financial stuff, but a lot in common.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So we obviously, you're a wee bit older then when you sign for them. You know, you're aware of, are you going, oh, no, here we go again? Or, you know, I mean, are you bringing these guys in with you to go, oh, look, guys, I've been through this. I know what's got to come in.
Yeah. To be honest, it was a disaster from start to finish. And that's not, at that time, the financial situation, I wasn't really aware of with Bury. I didn't know if it was really sort of that bad at the time I was there.
Yeah.
Everyone just got paid as normal and stuff. So maybe I was there just beforehand. But it certainly ended that way. Bury, I should never have signed with Bury. I was not happy there at all. And that's not down to like the gaffer that was there at the time or the boys or anything, because I did have some mates on the team. I just wasn't happy. I think when I left Huddersfield, I was in a place where I was so down by the fact that I felt like it was out of my control that I couldn't get a contract there because of my injury. Felt a bit disheartened with football. Really actually considered not playing for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was, I had the opportunity to come back here and same as Dunfermline, or go back down south and play with Bury. And ironically, it was my dad that was like, you need to go back down south. That's where, you know, you can really make a name for yourself. And if you do, it'll mean more and you'll make more money and stuff. So I respected my dad's opinion on that. And I thought, you know what, he is right. So I'll go down, the gaffer's speaking me up. He's, you know, like, you'll be in the squad, you'll be playing, this and that, we'll really focus. And I'm like, so obviously you got a bit of a buzz out of that. I got there and I was on the bench. I remember, I think we were playing like Chesterfield or something away. And I was like, it was the first weekend, but I was sitting on the bench and I was thinking, I don't even want to go on here. Like I just wasn't in the right sort of space. Like my mind was just not on it at all.
So how old were you at the Bury?
I would have been 19 when I signed there.
So you've been, at Rangers?
19 and a half.
And then you were at, it's 18 months at Huddersfield?
Yeah.
So you would have been, am I right, 17 and a half at Huddersfield?
Yeah.
Give or take, something like, you know what I mean? Just
Near enough.
Roughly, you know, it's like 19-year-old, and then, I mean, God knows what I was doing at 19-year-old, obviously. So I was trying. We didn't want the podcast taken off me.
we'll leave it for another day.
I'm probably trying to be a student at 19, thinking, "Oh, this is great." But I can totally get that because you think of, you know, and your dad was in his opinion. You know, we would probably all take the same thing. But you go down south and cut it, you know. In a bad way, you see all these bad bang average guys cutting it down south.
Yeah.
And they make a lot of money, you know, and you could be a star up here. Mm-hmm. It's a shame. You know, you can really be a star up here and not.
Yeah.
Then it comes down to, I suppose, like anything in sport, you know, you've got to turn it in, you enjoy it into a career, and it's,
That's it.
I can feel that. So after Bury. Back up the road, Robert. Sorry. Yes. When you go.
You were back up the road,
signing
for Tynecastle, and then obviously you moved to the biggest club you're ever going to sign for Edinburgh City.
That's it.
How did the move to City come about?
So it was actually James McDonough who'd messaged me. I'd met James. I feel weird not calling him Gaffer anymore, but he insists I call him James. So it's going to be James from now on. So he actually... I'd been at Tynecastle for maybe two years now or something by that point. And I was very much just trying to find some enjoyment in it again, you know, keep me fit. Actually, I was enjoying it. And when James did message at that point, I felt ready to go back into a more professional setup. So anyway, he got in touch with me. That must have been like 2018. It must have been like May or something. Just texted me and said, listen, I don't think he'd been in charge for too long as well. So he said, would you like to come along and train with us for a session? I'm interested in getting you in and getting you involved. So, yeah, I jumped at the chance and just went and trained with them. It was a much different team than it is now, on like a Thursday evening. And yeah, and then he offered us a contract and I bit his hand off for it. You know, I was really, really excited because even though I hadn't actually... It was like so when I went in and trained to them, when the next time I went in, it was like a completely different squad. It was like everyone out. Well, obviously there was a few who stuck around, Tomo and all that as well. But it was unbelievable. It was like going into a completely different team. But it actually turned out that I knew a lot of the guys that were in that had come in. You know, we'd all played against or with each other at some point in our full time careers, if you like. And some of these boys, like Danny Hamden, for example, I shared a room with Danny at Scotland, under 17s. Like, we had a great time. And I hadn't really seen him that much since then. So, like, coming in and seeing him, I was like, oh, brilliant. Here we go. Yeah. And actually, I looked at the changing room and I thought, we're gonna do well in this league. So, and I didn't even know anything about the league. I just knew. I couldn't even name five teams in the league at that point. But, yeah. Yeah, that's how it came about, and ever since then, they've offered me a contract, and I've been delighted to accept it. So, yeah.
So, obviously, you said that you signed on a contract. You've been with us now. It's 3 years now. You've been with us. You're signed on for a fourth.
Yeah.
The core of the team have been together now for the same amount of time. So, obviously, yourself, Danny, you mentioned Tomo, Liam Henderson, Laird Day, all these kind of guys. What is it about the club that's kept you and everybody else here for so long? Because I noticed, like say for example, the Player of the Year awards when I gave Blackie's award, the team seemed really together. Is that part of it? Is it the club themselves that are doing something right?
Yeah.
But both.
I think everyone plays their part because everyone in, like, you know, everyone in that changing room is playing for each other. There's no, like, I'm genuinely serious when I say it. There's no drama. There's no sort of friction between anyone. And if there ever is, it's at halftime because you've not cleared the ball you're meant to or whatever. Like, it's over and done with quickly. So everyone gets on brand new. Like, when nights out were a thing, we were going out like a fair amount and we were winning, you know, it wasn't affecting us as such. And everyone just gets on so well. I think it's because we've had that time together. We've all spent a good bit of time together now that it keeps you around. And it certainly... It makes me want to stick around, definitely. And also, you know, it's local as well. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
So I don't have any complaints about the club at all. I think it's a very happy place to be and a very ambitious place to be. So everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to get up. Like, that's all we want. That's all I've wanted to do for the last 3 years. But we've just not got there yet. Season's still going.
Season's still going, exactly.
Well, yeah, it's a really positive place to be, and I think people would notice that even from the outside.
Certainly. So you've obviously got a good understanding of Callum Crane down the left, although you were initially the left back.
Aye,
he's kind of punted you further up the park. So what's it like playing further forward? Is that something you want to keep doing? Are you just happy to play? How's that working out?
You know what? I actually enjoy it. Like, as a younger kid, like say, loved Ryan Giggs. I wanted to play left wing, you know, but it just so happened that I was a bigger, like, more physical presence. So that's probably why I got pushed to left back. But I've always been somebody who's enjoyed the attacking side of the game. But equally, I do enjoy the defending side of the game. And saying that, I'd rather be running at somebody than somebody running at me. But I think most people would say that. I enjoy playing further forward. And I think the thing with Craney is that we kind of complement each other in the sense that if he goes forward, I can sit and I know how to do the job. If I or if he takes my spot, he knows how to do the job. There's no difference. So it's basically like having, you know, it's just like just a left side. You know, anyone can play anywhere on that side. So. To me, it doesn't make much difference. But I do, for the most part, enjoy playing a bit higher up the pitch. It gets me, like, there's more involved in the goals and the assists and stuff. Not that you weren't from left back, but it's a slightly different role, but it's one that I'm enjoying. So long may it continue. And yeah, just like you say, I'm just delighted to play as well. So good to know that the gaffer has put his trust in us. So yeah, I enjoy it.
Aye.
So, obviously a recent change. James now becoming sporting director, and now Gary Neesmith becoming the gaffer.
Yeah.
How has that been? Been many changes, and I suppose from being a left-sided left back, have you been picking his ear for any tips?
You know, I haven't really yet, because I feel like it's all happened so quick. Like, genuinely, it's all happened so quick. We trained on the first Saturday back, and then James told us at the end of that session that he's no longer going to be the manager. And we were like, what? Like, everyone, it was so out of the blue.
Yeah.
So then new gaffer came in the following Tuesday, or was it the Thursday? It was either Tuesday or Thursday, and he spoke to us, and like that was it was done. And then we've had a couple of sessions with him, and then we're straight into the game. So like, really, we've not had a big chance to actually work on sort of tactical side of things or really get to know how one another play. But I mean, we're winning, it's working, you know, like he's come in and done a great job in such a short space of time, and everyone's gelled, you know. I think everyone understands what he's looking for, and yeah, it's been great. You know, off to a great start, so
long may it continue. Good. So, this is something we tried to discuss, but pandemic. So, how has the pandemic affected you and the squad in general? You know, from a footballing perspective to start, is it just?
I think I just pretty much for me the same as anyone really. It's just like, you know, you're just bored of not having like that social side of things. I'm not saying I'm desperate to go out, but like just I would love to have the option to do it. You know, I'm sick of being restricted to do. So I think I'm sick of not being able to get a shower after a football game in Elgin. I have to wait the whole way, come back and get a shower. And like just things, I don't like the fact that we're being robbed of our like freedom for it. It's just gone on too long. But yeah. I understand the severity of the situation. But yeah, it's been annoying. And obviously in terms of football, it's been in the off periods we've had, it's been harder to keep fit. So obviously I will always look after myself anyway, but I was going out running, but you cannot train for the game. Yeah. Like, you need the games to get match fitness. You need to be playing matches. You cannot train for that. So it's been tough. And you definitely, you know, the first session back, you definitely, like I was ruined for 2 days after that. Like, unbelievable. So it's been really tough. And I'm actually somebody who really enjoys going to the gym. The gym is like almost a hobby for me. It's part of my week, you know. It's a good place to sort of just release yourself physically and mentally, you know. Like, for me, it's a big deal, and not having that has been tough actually. So that's actually probably one thing I miss the most from the gym.
Yeah,
being able to go out for a nice meal.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Robert and I have booked into the local brewery for the first bank holiday. We can't, so we certainly echo your comments.
Is that the 26th?
Well, it's a Monday, so some of us have to work. We're working.
The bank holiday Monday, the week after, so we're going on Sunday the 2nd over at the Belfield Brewery. So.
All right, okay, perfect. We'll be looking forward to that.
Anyway. Definitely. Everybody's just chomping a bit to get out of here.
What did we do the last time we said? Robert's been sensible for a change. We've booked him for 4 hours this time. We were only in for two the last time. And what did you reckon we had? 8 pints each?
Too many and too short space of time, put it that way. It's like you say, everybody's just going to go mad. I mean, it's the same for I've been slightly fortunate because I've been able to come and see you guys doing at the games, doing live tweeting for the team and all that. And even, look at his face here. but, you know, it's obviously it is difficult. I mean, you can't, it's not the same. It's not the same at all, is it?
It's not the same.
But as you were saying, obviously, keeping yourself, trying to keep yourself going, you've got COVID. We've obviously had another shutdown for League One and Two, which was, in our opinion, a shambles, but we're not going to ask you to comment on that. Don't want to get you in trouble.
shambles as well anyway. So,
so obviously we're going to have like, you're going to have quite a lot of games in such a short space of time. How are you going to kind of manage your recovery? Because it's going to be like, there's a debate about like grass pitches, hybrid pitches, AstroTurf. Obviously, Ainslie Park's a new Astro. We're at Clifton Hill last week, which maybe isn't the best. And then we've got Central Park tomorrow, which definitely isn't the best.
Yeah.
Does playing on the pitch make a difference to how you're going to recover over this next few weeks? Or does it not really make a difference?
Yeah, no, I do believe it does. I think like say, Albion's ground last week, it was really heavy underfoot, it was windy, like the conditions play a part because it makes your job twice as hard. So yeah, I mean after Albion I was fatigued, you know, like you could even feel the last 20 minutes of the game I was really tired. I think it's just the body just reacting naturally to getting back to things. But yeah, even we're gonna have to just try and recover as smart as best as we possibly can, because if you're talking scientifically and there's not an adequate amount of recovery between Saturday and Tuesday. But you see it, you know, the full-time pros do it as well. It's not right. It might have made the difference if you make a game on the Wednesday, but it doesn't matter. Like, you know, it is what it is. So I think it's just about like really, and the gaffer said as well, you know, he'll take care of us. You know, if you are feeling fatigued, you can be honest with him about it. You know, we've got a biggish squad now. We've got great boys that have been on the bench, you know, great substitutes to come on. So, I just try and see, it's hard as well because all of us, well, 99% of us are working as well. My job's quite physical too. So, I mean, it's not really as good a recovery as I would like to get. You know, ideally I'd rather be doing as little as possible. But yeah, it is what it is. That's just life, isn't it? So we just have to recover. No, got a choice. You just got to recover. take a Yazoo milkshake, drink that, you'll be fine. Go again. That's it.
I must remember that if I ever try to go down that fitness road. Yazoo. Unlikely, as you can probably tell. So obviously, I just touched upon that when we've been at games. There's nobody there. Uh-huh. What's it been like playing without fans? Because I know going and sitting there and doing the tweeting and all that, it's horrific. Yeah. It's horrific for me sitting there. So what's it been like for you guys on the pitch?
I mean, and be brutally honest here. I'm not going to put any thoughts in your mind. But when you're ever at the games and you hear guys giving positive shouts, it's always me and Bob. If there's anybody moaning, it's our mate Ali that does the podcast with us, because he goes off on one and the place is silent and he's still having a rant to himself. So that's Ali. Ali, hello. Yeah. But it's Ali who's doing it.
I'll keep that in mind. it's been weird without the crowd, because like you'll know yourself, like it's not as if we've got thousands there every week and like you know, but it's amazing how much a difference it does make. Even just that, you know, they are driving up the pitch with the ball. Even when you've got people there, they're like, go on. You know, even if you just hear a few shouts, like it can spur you on. Whereas it's like you went back to playing football when you were 5 years old or something. You know, like there's a couple of parents around the pitch almost and that's it. You know, there's just no buzz around it. We're still excited to play, don't get me wrong. We still get ourselves going. But it's, it's been weird. It's been weird without the fans. Because even when you've got the young team coming in as well, and they're always chanting away, they're brilliant. So now all you've got is a few of them standing on top of the big skip or whatever at the far end of the pitch. So, it's been weird. I much prefer having some fans in. Just makes it the whole all the more special, I think, really.
Yeah. That's cool. All right. Okay, so... Oh, I'm getting a difficult question. Now, obviously, you said this is before we get to quick fire ones, Robbie. Right? So you've said one of your icons was Ryan Giggs. So this is maybe elaborates to what I'm going to say next. So when you're younger, obviously, you bounce the ball like some of us, but 99% of us will kick a ball about and go, all right, I'm all right at that. Right. So did you walk past the mirror one day and think, I could be a model?
No. That is not how it went down. You know what it was? It was actually, it's it's not, I'm telling you, like, and most, I think people would agree with me here, is like, it's not something, well, for me anyway, it's not something I ever thought about doing. You know, you've always got your mum saying, oh, you're so handsome, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, but you expect your mum to say that, you know, you're like, all right, cheers, mum. You're not saying that because you have to, you know. But no, it'd been like my sister and like other friends had been like, oh, you should model, you should go for it. I was like, what? Like, I wouldn't even know what I'm doing. I don't know. I don't feel that, probably don't feel that confident enough to do that kind of thing. But anyway, right, there was a period after my dad had passed and stuff. And, you know, I came across, well, I heard from Model Team Scotland. They had emailed me. Oh, no, Instagram. They messaged me on Instagram. I was like, you know what? Stuff it. I'm just going to go for it. So I just went through and met them. Then they wanted to work with me. And then since then, I've just been winging it. So it's great. It's been great fun, actually. But yeah, no, I definitely didn't grow up. There was no aspiration to be a model. Or whatnot, so it's a fun side hustle for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. Not randomly, I was looking at suits the other day thinking I might need a new suit recently, and I'm going, there's Robbie in a suit. Yeah. We'll be getting into that one. Right, okay, I've got the next one. That's it. So yeah. No, fair play, mate. Fair play. If you can do it, you've got to do it.
Well, they think I can, so I'll do it for as long as they think I can. So.
There you go. If you've got it, flaunt it, as they say, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, a slight departure for your usual League Two footballer full-time job, I think, as well, eh? So
yeah.
That was actually how we were going to word the question. Usually it's like a plumber or a bricky or that. How did you become a model? But on that note, obviously, you've got a rather different nickname to some of the other footballers.
Mm-hmm.
For those that probably don't know, is that myself, Neil and Robbie have a mutual friend, and young Craig Logan, and he one day says, oh, Robbie signed. I says, all right, aye. He says, oh, a cracking football player. I says, you're really going to like him. I says, super, right. He says, and by the way, he's a really sexy man. And we're like, oh, really, is he? He says, oh, I've seen him before. He's a really sexy man. And so from that, your nickname, Sexy Rab Macapield.
I didn't know that's where it originated from.
Right, yeah.
That's where it came from.
Wow, I need to give Craig a message. Nearly 3 years later on.
So obviously, like, so it's kind of like, it's went through there. That's how it came about. I think it seems to have stuck, or certainly stuck for some of the fans. What's the best way to put this? Do you get a bit of a ribbon for the rest of the team for such a nickname, or?
Nah, not really. No, it actually doesn't really. They, like, whenever you hear it, you see it, like, you know, the boys are laughing, you know what I mean? But no, I think they've embraced it, to be honest. So I don't really get that much stick for it. Maybe at the beginning a wee bit, but I was just like, hey, I don't make the nicknames up. I never started it. Don't come at me. So I don't really get a lot of stick for it or a ribbon, like you say. I don't get anything for it.
It's a positive nickname. You've got to take it. It could be worse. Somebody could be heckling every city. So make sure you text Craig Logan and thank him for it. So
yeah, I messaged him. The best nickname I've ever had.
Right, Bob, we've got quick fires. We'll do one each,
and I'm going to add an extra one in. All right.
So will I go first then?
You go first.
Right, okay. So try and be quick fire answers so we can finish off for you.
Go for it.
Right. Best player you've played with?
See, this is the thing. You say quick fire, but I'm just not quick. best player I've ever played with? Can I played with or played against? Does it?
Go on. You don't go for against, yeah.
Played off at Everton reserves, but it wasn't their reserves, it was like a full team, and I always remember Stephen Pienaar.
he played
that game and he was incredible. Like, I maybe not the best I've ever played with, but I remember that day that he was just unbelievable. It was the streets ahead.
Okay.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
What player or players have had the biggest impact on your career?
Like I say, one of my best mates he doesn't even play anymore, funnily enough, but he was like my main impact. My dad, obviously, a big impact. player wise. I don't know. Just really, all the clubs I've been at has always been. I guess I've probably been lucky with the changing rooms. Everyone's always wanted to win and to better themselves. So I'd probably say I couldn't really narrow it down, to be honest. Yeah.
Very fair, very diplomatic. So, have you got a favourite ground to play in?
I enjoy playing at Hampden. You know, you're always you're always even more knackered after it. But yeah, who wouldn't want to play there? You know, it's a great pitch. It's a great facility. It's just it's amazing.
Brilliant.
Any games that stand out in the memory for you? Favourite games?
ones that I've played in. Obviously, I don't know if you remember the game in the Betfred against Stranraer when I scored my first goal for City. Kind of ran through a bit and hit about 25 yards out or something right in the top end. That was a memorable day because I remember thinking, like, perfect. Got off to a good start. Like, that's what I needed, you know. I remember, I have fond memories of a few games. I always remember, I know, although we got beat, we went down to Wales to play in the, is it the Iron Brew? Iron Brew, we went down to Wales. That game was a memorable game, not for all the right reasons, but like the whole trip and stuff, you know, just with a bunch of boys. That was great, you know. And we were so unlucky that night too. It was a horrible, horrible game to play in. They were a horrible team to play against. Terrible, but yeah, that's a fond memory though. As much as we lost, it's good.
I say to Bob because we went to Peterhead the week before, and not that well. I'm 6'2", so you know, standing having a bar in Peterhead, and this boy walks out, square jaw, broad shoulders, and I'm going, boy had a Welsh jacket on. I went, just up to watch for next week. He went, aye. He's like, don't worry, we'll have a plan for you. And I mean. I was like, you're going to look that intimidating, mate. But all right, there you go.
Yeah.
Not that we realised that the plan, well, we'll say it wasn't to play football against us. But, so. You
know. Oh, my goodness. They could throw a ball anyway. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, God.
Rory Delap School of Football.
Oh, my.
For everybody. God. Not just one person. So, yeah.
Unbelievable. That boy must have taught Rory Delap how to do it. That's unbelievable.
Honestly, it's absolutely brutal.
The boy. They were actually, you know, I'm serious. There was a boy who was running through on goal for them and ended up just running to the touchline because he wanted a throw rather than getting, like, one-on-one with the keeper. He ran out to the side.
Horrific.
I remember that so well. So well, yes. I know.
Unbelievable. But, yeah, that was the whole trip, though, was a fond memory. It really was.
Aye. It was good going down as a fan. Just it might be, well, hopefully not, but it might be the closest we get to a kind of European tie for Edinburgh City. Yeah, so
maybe, hopefully not. But
hopefully
maybe.
Not.
Yeah.
So we might get a bit serious with the next one.
Okay.
Who's the biggest prima donna in the dressing room?
I'm gonna say, I'm gonna go with Liam Henderson. I think he'd agree with me. Well, he wouldn't actually. He definitely would not agree with me. But it's Hendo.
Yeah. Well, that kind of nicely segues into the next question. Is Liam as thick as people say he is?
he's not. By the way, I'm not having it. I have, like, some of the things he's come out with before. I do really question, like, is he all there? But he's no, he's brighter than he lets on. Definitely is. He's a wise man when he needs to be.
So I'll just add my extra question in here.
Okay.
Who's your, obviously you've got a number of players on the squad and all that. Who's your best pal on the team?
Oh, it's a tough one. I mean, we're all such great mates. I think, but from going in to now, and we've both been there ever since, you know, being consistently through it. I've spent a lot of time with Blackie, you know, like we've always partnered up in training and stuff. So, yeah, I would say Blackie probably is. But again, I'm so close with all of them. I consider them all just as good mates, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. If I have to be honest, I'm blacking.
That's a good answer because we're the sponsors. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're welcome.
Okay, so what do you do? The last two are a bit all left field. So what do you do to relax after a long day on the catwalk?
Long day on the catwalk, yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, it's weird, right? Because like all the whole pandemic stuff, like the modeling's been really dried up, you know, it's not like,
yeah,
it's hard to get jobs done there just with all the protocols that go on and stuff. So, yeah, but after a long day on the catwalk to chill, I will get in my bed and I will chuck Netflix on. That's mm-hmm. what I will do. And I will lie there until I see fit to get up. Yeah, that is my idea of chilling, just getting in bed, Netflix.
Sounds like a good plan.
And I'm not very good at chilling as well, but I always feel like I need to be doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
Occasionally I'll get in my bed and do it, but yeah.
Right, so last of the questions before we let you go. It's the most hard-hitting one of the day.
Hmm.
Seeing it's coming up at the weekend, what's your favourite Easter egg?
Oh, wow. That is a question. My favourite Easter egg, I love Cadbury chocolate. So I'll seriously just take a Cadbury Dairy Milk Cadbury chocolate one. That's what I'll take. But I've not been... no one's bought me an Easter egg in the last, what, maybe 10 years or something like that. So maybe... Maybe this one will, though.
I was going to say, is that you dropping hints to somebody who's sitting next to you?
Yes. I'm glad you asked that question. Maybe get one this year.
Brilliant.
Super.
Right, that's great.
Right, so that's pretty much it. Durnab, thank you very much for coming on. That was super. Thanks for being the first guest.
Oh, no, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it, guys. So get back on in the future if you'll have me.
Super, all right, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Well, he's carrying on. You've got more to talk about.
We'll probably sit and talk for another hour or something, mate. That'd be brilliant. So, thanks very much for coming on.
No worries.
All right, make sure you text Craig.
I will do. I'll need to give him a shout. Absolutely.
Right. Stick in tomorrow, eh? See you soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers, Bob. Bye. Thanks very much to Robbie McIntyre for coming on. Delighted to get him on as our first interview. Obviously, he's a bit of a favourite for the three of us that do the pod. Lovely guy, lovely interview. Can't really complain for our first one there, Neil.
No, no. Nice and easy. You know, he was really good. I can imagine if we get some of the other guys on, they might heckle us a bit more, but no. Perhaps Robbie's a good lad, so it was good to get him on. Yeah, it was good to get our first one done.
Aye. We did promise you interviews, listeners. We finally got one. It's taken a while, but there we go. So we're quite happy with that. We're hopefully going to get some more interviews as the weeks go by. We did promise the chairman. He said he could go on shortly.
We're close.
We're just about to sign on the dotted line, guys. Just about to sign on the dotted line. Obviously, as I said, the last one, it's the same goes for this one. Which you can appreciate, it's been a really, really busy time for him, especially with the shutdown and fixtures and obviously the managerial change and everything else that's going on. So, yeah, we'll just be delighted whenever Jim comes on. But I know, obviously, a few people have been asking because I think they want to hear. They want to hear from him. It's all very well us surmising what's going on and giving our opinion, but it's better to hear it for the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yep.
So, aye. Anything else to add before we have our cheery byes?
I don't think so. Just thanks again to Robbie for coming on. And pretty much it.
Aye. One thing I will say that we kind of forgot at the start, obviously that's as James now moved up to sporting director. A massive heartfelt thanks to him and his team for the last 3.5 years. We've kind of come on leaps and bounds, and that's no short part to himself, I think. As I said previously, as I always say, I think fans always get on at management teams when things aren't going well, but they're not necessarily as quick to say thanks or well done if things have done well. So, yeah, just a huge massive thanks to James and Colin Jack and all the rest of the guys that have been part of that over the last 3.5 years. In terms of the admin details, obviously now we are now on YouTube. You just need to search Edinburgh City SC Podcast. We're delighted with the number of views we've had already. Thanks very much to everybody who has. We're still going to go out and anchor an app on Spotify as well for those that don't want to look at our ugly coupons. So, YouTube, you can subscribe. Club Citizens is the YouTube channel. Same if you want to listen to the podcast and that. You can search for us as Edinburgh City FC Podcast. Last of all, again, another plug for a friend, Ash Wilson. His book, Good Citizen, Bad Citizen, is still in the Amazon store. His rather roller coaster journey with Edinburgh City and his fandom with the team. So, you don't need a Kindle to read it, just a Kindle app. So to give it a wee go, a wee download, and had some really positive reviews. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. So with that, it will be a goodbye from Mr. Rooney.
Yep. Goodbye, everybody. And we'll hopefully hear from you soon. Come on, Chairman Jim. You know you want to be next. You know you want to be next.
So it's obviously the National Lottery. It could be you. Aye, so that's a goodbye from Mr. Rooney, and it's a goodbye from me, the Right Rev. Goodbye.